Well, as you know, I like using technology to make my life easier, to make my job easier. And from time to time, I will get asked about certain softwares and apps and tools and platforms that I use. I'll get asked about certain devices and computers and phones, tablets, iPads, things like that. And so I'm really excited to talk a little bit more about that in this episode. My name is Luke Clayton, and welcome to the Must Increase Podcast. Hey, thanks for joining us for this episode. And of course, I do hope that if you haven't by now, that you will follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. I also want to encourage you to make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. From time to time, we have visual content that makes a lot more sense when you watch it on video. This episode may not necessarily fit that criteria, so you audio listeners should be safe. But there has been some screen sharing type of content that I'll share where I walk you through maybe different processes. For example, past episodes where we've walked through how to use Canva, or we've shown you a price comparison or side-by-side comparison of different computers and devices that you might want to consider buying. Those are the episodes that you want to make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel so that you can watch them. All that to say, follow us wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And I would really appreciate that. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about the types of tools that I use. So I'm obviously in the tech and media world very much so, but there is a bit of a, I guess, problem that I've noticed over the years, and you probably have too. And that is that technology tends to get used more for leisure. And let's just be honest, it tends to waste our time more than it does to maybe save us time and help us manage more effectively our time and energy and so forth. But I tend to be the guy who really tries to dig in and figure out how I can use technology to help save me time so I can make investments into certain, you know, areas of technology that, again, are going to make me more productive, more efficient, so that I can maybe have more time for my personal life or get more done in my business, save me time, save me money, save me energy, all of those different things. And so I have been using some of these tools for a long time. Maybe some of them are a little bit newer. And so I'm going to be walking through the different, much of this is software. So it really doesn't matter what device you're using or what type of computer. Most of this is web-based. And so that means that it pretty much runs in a web browser for the most part. And it doesn't matter if you're using Mac, Windows, you know, PC, Chromebook. You can even operate many of these and they'll function just fine on maybe even mobile devices, tablets, iPads, even iPhones and smartphones. And so most of these are web-based products and platforms that work in that way. I'll also talk a little bit more, about the certain maybe softwares that you can use that maybe aren't web-based that you actually download and install and they run on your computer. So for those, you may, you know, there may be certain softwares that do require a certain type of computer. And then I will actually talk about the hardware itself here at some point talk about the different devices that I use. I do use many different devices for different purposes. And so let's get started though by talking about tools. I've kind of broken it down into these different maybe categories, if you will. And I want to talk about the most time-saving level of tool that I have implemented over the years. And that is those that fall in the category of automations. And what I mean by automations are tools that connect and systematize my life and my business behind the scenes. So this allows me to essentially automatically have things happen and run and operate without me manually having to do these. And so probably the best example and most simple example I can give is that of my of scheduling my calendar. So scheduling meetings and scheduling calls. You probably can identify with a nightmare of having to coordinate back and forth, whether it be in text messages, message or social media message or email, going back and forth trying to schedule a time to meet or talk to someone. I mean, we've all been there. We are, you know, maybe we receive an email from somebody that says they'd like to meet with us. And you say, sure, I'm free at Monday at 2 p.m. And they say, well, that doesn't work for me, but I am free on Tuesday at 10 a.m. And you say, well, that doesn't work for me, but I'm free. And really, this cycle can go on for what feels like endless amounts of emails and back and forth. Well, Calendly and scheduling tools like this really solve this problem. And by the way, none of these products that I and platforms that I'm mentioning, I don't get any sort of kickback for anything. I'm not an affiliate. I wish I was. It'd be great. And, you know, I'm saying all that. Perhaps if I can find some affiliate links, I will throw them in the show notes. You know, so hey, if you like them, click on the links in the show notes and the descriptions. They might be affiliate links. They might not be. But I'm not an official sponsor of any of this. Nobody sponsors, none of these platforms sponsor the show or my YouTube channel or anything like that. I'm generally just saying this is what I use because they do work. So you're getting an unpaid endorsement of these products. But Calendly, yes, is at the top of the list because it saves all of that back and forth. It's not the only tool like it, but it's really the best that I've found out there. And essentially what it does is you set up an account. You connect your online calendar. For many, that's going to be a Google Calendar, but it'll also work with Microsoft Outlook. It'll even work with iCloud calendars and maybe some other calendar services. It connects with that, and it essentially checks your availability. And then when somebody schedules through the system, it also adds those appointments, those meetings, those calls to your actual Google Calendar or whatever calendar you've got connected. And then it allows you to set up these meeting times where people can go in. And now when someone says, hey, I want to talk to you or I want to meet with you, you simply reply, hey, great, would love to talk to you too. Here's my scheduling link. You paste that link to your Calendly. They click on that. They can go, and now they can see what times you are available based on what your online calendar is telling the software there. And it works seamlessly, completely flawlessly. I've really never had any like scheduling conflict issues or anything like that. It's always on the ball, updates instantly. And so this is a really wonderful tool that saved me so much time. Now, Calendly in particular does have a free version, of course, with limitations. It allows you to set up one event type. So for example, a 30-minute meeting, you could set up a 30-minute meeting, integrate it in with your calendar, and start sending that link out. Now, if you want to do more advanced things like connecting with multiple calendars, if you want to have multiple meeting types, which is crucial for me, so I have several types of meetings, for example, half hour blocks, hour long blocks, even 10 to 15 minute check-in type blocks. And I have all these different ones set up and I send them out depending on what type of meeting is being asked for. All of that's available through their more premium offerings. And but even if you pay for their premium, it's very affordable. I believe I'm paying less than $200 a year for the access I get to Calendly. It's completely worth it. And if you are somebody that's in any type of work or business, even church leaders out there who are, you know, scheduling appointments and things like that, this is a game changer because it really saves all of that back and forth. Every time I've sent a Calendly link out to someone, I've never received any negative feedback about that. It's not like somebody's been like, whoa, I wanted you to sit here and be more personal and go back and forth with me for 13 emails until we find a time. No, usually, if anything, I'm getting compliments. People are saying, oh, this is great. This is fantastic. I found the time that works for me and we're good to go. And I love how it works within my parameters. So again, I not only have my Google Calendar connected, but I also have additional parameters for my availability set up inside of Calendly so that I'm always free times I know I need to be free, regardless of what my Google Calendar says. For example, I pretty much never take a meeting on a Monday. I very rarely take a meeting or a call on a Friday. And so Calendly just doesn't show those available times. Those are times that I need to be focused on work, sometimes family, just depending on the day. Then another thing is my mornings. I need to have my mornings to actually do deep work and be productive. And so my Calendly very rarely, if ever, is going to display a morning recording time slot, with some exception. But I can do all, I can have Calendly build in and understand all of those parameters for my scheduling, for my calendar and my schedule. So all that to say, Calendly is a game changer. It really does automate your life, because when it comes to trying to schedule meetings and appointments, that's basically done for you. You send the link, the person trying to schedule finds a time, and it's done. And not to mention, there's reminders built in. With the version I have, which is the, again, I'm paying for it, I can send email reminders, I can send text reminders. And so the no-show rate has drastically dropped since I implemented Calendly. I very rarely have someone, it happens from time to time, but very rarely does someone just not show up to a scheduled meeting or call because they're getting reminders. So I can't recommend Calendly enough. Calendly.com is where you're going to find that. And I highly recommend it. Now, speaking of automation, probably the most robust automation app that I use is Zapier. Zapier is purely a tool, a platform designed to connect different online tools together. So, for example, Zapier can take an actual, we're talking about Calendly, it can integrate with Calendly. And when someone schedules a time to meet in Calendly, then Zapier can take that data and it uses that, say someone again schedules a meeting, that triggers Zapier to now take that data and integrate it in with other applications that I might use. So for example, it could take that information and of that person who booked a meeting with me, and it could take their information, their name, their email, their contact information, and it can import it into my database of contacts that I have, or put them into my email software so that they start receiving my emails now whenever we send those out. It can do all these different things and integrate into hundreds of different applications. It's a really powerful tool. And honestly, I don't really have the time to go into all the different ways specifically that I use it. And to be quite honest with you, the way that I use it is incredibly, nerdy. And a lot of people probably wouldn't necessarily find much use for it that way. But I will give just one more example, which is how we're able to use it for social media. So if you've been connected with churchmediahq.com for any period of time, you've probably heard about our free graphics that we offer. And at time of recording, we're sending out a free graphic of the week. We've been doing that for about a year and a half. And all of this is a completely automated system set up using many of the tools that I'm talking about today. And what this does is every week you're getting a new graphic, which, by the way, if you want to sign up for the free graphic of the week, simply head over to churchmediahq.com. It is completely free. And what's going to happen is every week you're going to get an email that contains a new graphic, and that graphic contains not just the image graphic there, but it also contains the Photoshop files, the editable files, so you can download and you can make it your own. And again, it's a completely free new graphic sent to you every week for a full year. And then what happens is once that all these automations are set up to send that email automatically, and also Zapier knows whenever this scheduled time each week rolls around for the new graphic to be sent out, it also posts it to our social media platforms. So to Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, letting people know, hey, there's a new graphic of the week. If you want to sign up, go here. And it gives the link to go sign up. All of that is done powered by Zapier. And so Zapier has a lot of different features and functionalities that it allows you to do. It integrates, again, with hundreds of apps. If you're looking to save time, even if you say, well, hey, I'm not a programmer, I'm not a developer, I'm not a coder, that's the beauty of it. I'm not either, actually. You don't have to know code. You just have to be able to understand a simple, very simple, basic user interface. And Zapier does have a free version, but admittedly, you are very limited on their free version. I've been paying for Zapier for years at this point because of how much I use it. But either way, it's worth checking out. Now, there's other alternatives to Zapier out there. I believe there's one called Integromat. I might be wrong on that because Zapier, I've just been using it for so long. I've considered looking into other platforms and options. I've experimented here and there, but Zapier by and large is the best one, at least for me. Another one that comes to mind that might be a little bit more simple to use, more basic, and I believe allows you to maybe do a little bit more for free is just simply called IFTTT. It stands for If This Then that. So IFTT, IFTTT. I can't remember exactly what the acronym is, but if you were to search that, or maybe I'll just make sure it gets in the show notes, you can check that one out as well. It just simply introduces you to this concept of automatic automation and integration between apps. And all that to say, Zapier is a fantastic one. Now, a lot of times when it comes to these automations that I've set up, another example of an automation I'd want to have is whenever somebody does sign up for either a free service resource that we're offering or even a paid one, I want to be able to integrate all of that together. But of course, there has to be a starting point. Everything has to start somewhere whenever you are interacting with people online. And for pretty much everybody, almost every time with some exception, it's going to start with some type of online form. So an online form that actually captures their information and then sends it into my system. And so my choice for online forms, again, that I've been using for years, is something called Paperform at paperform.co.co. Paperform is I was using a platform called Jotform for the longest time, and it's still out there, jotform.com. You can check it out as well. The problem I had with Jotform was it just didn't look very pretty, if I'm honest. It didn't have a great user interface. I mean, I could use it just fine, but as far as, you know, allowing the end user a more pleasant, streamlined experience, Jotform felt to me really clunky. Now, I have gone back and looked at Jotform since I switched, and they've improved in this area a little bit, but they're still not as good in terms of interface as Paperform. Paperform is incredibly clean. It's incredibly simplistic. And really building a form in Paperform feels more like you're creating a Google Doc than it does building some type of form. Now, I'm not taking the time during these particular episodes to go through and give you live demos of anything just for time's sake. That said, if there's any of these that I'm saying that you might want to see a live demonstration of it or see it in action, then definitely let me know, reach out, leave a comment, or shoot me an email, luke@mustincrease.com. Let me know. And we might just take maybe not a full episode, but I might be able to just do a short video to demo any of these. Paperform, though, would definitely be one of those that looks really good in a demo to show you how it works, because again, it is just such a clean interface. And I use this for everything from signing up for, again, these free offers, such as the free graphic of the week. I use it to collect information about those who actually we work with, the churches and organizations that we work with. We collect their information through a paper form. And then there's all kinds of applications. If you have a website through churchmediahq.com or Creative Team Pro, very likely that website, when it comes to the contact forms, I know with all our church websites, this is the case. The way that people would contact you is actually using a paper form. You wouldn't know it, but it's there. If you were to go into the back end, see the code, you would see that it's Paperform. And so Paperform is a really just clean, nice form creating tool that I really like. Now, again, I say all this, Paperform, just like the past two products I've explained, they do have a somewhat free version, or I believe they offer a trial is what it is. But I believe after like 14 days, you do have to pay. And I for what I'm doing, I'm on a pretty high level tier. But again, it's completely worth it. But I think the concept here is not just the idea of using Paperform in particular. That's not necessarily what I'm saying you need to do. That's the tool that I'm using. But if you're not using forms to some extent in what you're doing, again, with your church, with your organization, with your workflows, you might want to think about that. Let's talk about a practical example where forms can make your life easier. So a lot of times what happens when someone is, let's just say, signing up for an event. Well, I mean, if you're old school, and there's still plenty of old school folks out there, you've got maybe a sign-up sheet, okay? So you've got that sign-up sheet out there that's got these different columns, you know, name, phone number, you know, number of people attending, whatever, or maybe you're using some type of card that they fill out, some type of, you know, in the church world, a connection card or a visitor guest card that has information about events and they can sign up. And there's going to be a place for that, especially in the physical world, if you will, in an actual in-person worship service. Some people, they're just going to be more inclined maybe to use an in-person form of sign up. And so it's not to say that you stop completely utilizing those methods, but when it comes to the digital side of things, when you need to sign somebody up, what do you do? Well, sometimes what winds up happening is, again, it becomes kind of a messy, jumbled email thread where somebody says, hey, contact so-and-so if you want to sign up. And so they contact so-and-so. Say, hey, I want to sign up for the upcoming event, you know? And they say, cool. What's your name? What's your phone number? And whatever. And they send all that back in email. Well, then you have to take that and kind of aggregate that data and make sure it all gets in the right place. And again, if it was all done through email or messaging, like that information can be kind of easily lost or forgotten. That's where a form comes in. When somebody says, hey, I want to sign up. And for many of you out there, you're like, yeah, duh, this is not new. But for some of you, it might be. Maybe you can expand your mind and your applications of how you're using these different tools. And so, again, when it comes to signing up for any type of event or for volunteers or for a new program, a new small group or whatever it may be, having a simple form, name, email, phone number, you know, all of this, you know, it's great for having options, you know. I mean, that often can be something too, where you say, well, hey, you might ask them what some kind of, you might try to give them something with some type of option. You maybe say, well, you know, let's say it's a picnic. Well, what food can you bring? Oh, I can bring sandwiches. Well, we don't need sandwiches. You know, we're looking for people to bring desserts and sides, you know? And so you could actually have that as an option. Do you want to bring a dessert? Do you want to bring a side? And so they know that, oh, that's what I'm limited to being able to, that's how I can participate. And so all that to say, a form really allows you to be very specific in your data collection process. And once it's collected, you are better able to organize it and access it. And so again, if you're not ready to use a form, like something like a paper form that's going to require you to pay for it eventually, that's fine. You can also find the number one kind of free version out there is actually made by Google. Now, Google Forms is very functional. It doesn't have a lot of advanced features. And I'm not crazy about the user interface of really anything Google makes in general. But it is a very clean, simple, you know, way to kind of get introduced to this concept of forms. I know many out there who are using Google Forms for their simple registrations. Now, something to be noted is with Google Form, you're not going to be able to accept payments online. And by the way, if you ever see a Google Form that's asking you for payment information, credit card information, or anything like that, steer clear of that. That is not a secure way to submit your payment or credit card, debit card information. And so it's not an official way to capture payment, but it is a way for, again, free registrations, RSVPs. It's a great tool for that. So I am a big fan of forms in general, but my specific form builder of choice is paperform.co. Now, let's talk a little bit about Airtable. And I probably don't need to spend too much time on this because this is very high level kind of use of online. It's an online database tool. And so it's very high level. So if you're interested in knowing more about it, then you're definitely going to want to reach out and maybe we can schedule a session with my nice Calendly link. We could schedule a time. I would gladly schedule a time to maybe talk to you more about it one-on-one and go through how it works. But basically Airtable is an online databasing tool. And really the whole backbone of my business is actually operated off of Airtable. All of the information that I collect about different users and whether they're free, whether they're paid, it all collects into a secure Airtable database. And through tools like Zapier, I'm able to go in and automatically access much of that information. Now you say, okay, what is this idea of an online database? Well, this is not the best explanation from if you are more of a high-end techie person, you probably think this is too simple of a definition, but I'm going to give it anyways. And that's because I think it's the most simple way to describe it maybe to somebody who hasn't been introduced to this concept before. That is that a database is kind of a glorified spreadsheet. In the case of Airtable, it's not just a spreadsheet. And don't get me wrong, it's very different in terms of how it operates from like a spreadsheet, like an Excel sheet or Google sheet even. But the concept is similar. You're looking at a spreadsheet type of table layout of information. But the beauty of databasing tools like Airtable is that it's able to connect certain types of data with other types of data. So for example, I have a database, a table of users that is all connected by their email addresses as the primary way that we identify our different, you know, users, those who are connected to our different platforms, you know, again, Church Media HQ, Creative Team Pro, even Must Increase Directly. These users are all identified by a unique email address. And then what happens though, let's say we wanted to connect email addresses with organization names. Okay, well, when they fill out their information, that organization name also gets added into another table of data called organizations or churches or businesses or whatever. And then inside of that particular table, well, we have all the information about those particular organizations. So where they're located, you know, if they've given us their phone number or, you know, all the data that they've shared that we need maybe to build their website or whatever it may be. But then the user in the user side and the user table of data is connected with their organization. And so everything integrates and connects together so that we can essentially know that this user is not only connected with this organization, but here is how, here is all that organization's data name. Again, it's a little bit advanced. It's a little bit high tech and it maybe isn't for everybody, but for what I'm doing, Airtable is amazing. And I really think it's a powerful tool and there is a powerful application. I will say this, if for some reason your job calls for you to be using a lot of spreadsheets for whatever reason, maybe take a look at a tool like Airtable and see if there's a way that Airtable could maybe make your life a little bit more streamlined and easy than just keeping everything in an Excel sheet. Here's a kind of a main last talking point there. For the most part, spreadsheets are pretty static, meaning that the data you put in there, it kind of goes in there as it is. Yes, you can use formulas and things to calculate things. An actual database, like a tool like Airtable, the information is more dynamic, meaning that it can change. It can be, you can, again, make these different connections. And so, again, I know it's a very techie, high-end maybe type of tool, but I do use it. I love it. And like I said, I would say mainly for those of you out there who are using maybe Excel or some type of spreadsheet tool, and you say, I feel like I could do more, but I feel limited by the tool. Maybe that's where you need to get into a tool like Airtable or some type of database like that. There's other kind of alternatives, like Notion, I believe, is another technically databasing tool. I've dabbled with it, not used it much, to be honest, but you may find it to be pretty helpful. Now, the last software tool for this segment of automations that I'm going to recommend is the one that I use for email marketing, and that is MailerLite. MailerLite, not Miller Lite. This is not an endorsement for a beer or alcohol. It is Mailer, as in mail. Like I am one who mails. MailerLite, L-I-T-E. I don't know why they chose that name. Why would you choose a name that sounds so similar to another product? But whatever, that's what it's called. MailerLite, MailerLite.com. It's for email marketing. They're expanding their use to usage now to maybe do more with marketing in general. Looks like they might be trying to compete with maybe a HubSpot or Salesforce or something like that, which are full, you know, marketing tool or marketing suite products. MailerLite though started at least by being focusing on email marketing. That's what I use for all of my email marketing. Another though popular alternative is MailChimp, and really what these both of these products, and there's other ones out there, Constant Contact, and there's a few others, and even the ones I talked about, the high-end suites, they have these features like HubSpot and so forth. The basically the function of these tools is to be able to use them for email marketing or bulk email. And so the beautiful thing about email marketing is that it's a very effective way to reach people. Social media gets all of the hype in terms of being effective, and social media is very effective, but still the most effective form of marketing has proven by the data, by the metrics and statistics, to be email marketing. And so it doesn't really matter what type of industry you're in. Of course, a lot of our audience, in fact, most of our audience is probably church leaders. Even for churches, you need to consider a tool like this. You say, what are we marketing? No, this is just to help get the word out. You can do things through MailerLite, such as create an automatic email that's connected with the RSS feed of your preaching podcast. You can create an automatic email to go out every Monday or Tuesday or whenever to send people in your church your latest sermon. You can say, hey, here's the sermon preached on Sunday. And it's all automatic. As long as you upload the episode to your podcast platform, it'll automatically blast out that email. So that's a wonderful feature. And then you can also set up things called funnels. So for example, you get somebody who's new to your church. Well, now once the email goes into the funnel, now you can send them through an automated sequence of emails that just kind of introduces them to the church. Hey, here's a little bit more information about our pastor. And then here's a little more information about our kids ministry. Hey, here's our upcoming, special service times or whatever it may be. You can send them through that automatically through that funnel and a tool. And again, most church management softwares have something like that built in as well. But I will say a lot of these, I've used many of them. They can be a little overwhelming in how they work in terms of setup. So a tool like a MailerLite or again, a MailChimp, they both work virtually the same, allows you just to focus in on the email side of things and use that to reach out to people. Now, any marketing expert out there will tell you that you need to be, doesn't matter what business you're in, you need to be using email marketing to reach people. And so I can't recommend MailerLite enough. I think it is a really, really powerful tool. I've really enjoyed using it. And again, just like everything, it's not always free. Again, going back to Airtable, I didn't mention that. Airtable, you can do a quite a bit for free, but at some point you may have to start paying for it. MailerLite's the same way. MailChimp, I believe their pricing, their free their entry point in terms of where you're capped on free users is very similar. I think you get up to 1,000 unique email subscribers before they start charging you. So you can sign up at MailerLite.com, MailChimp.com. And again, I will say this, when it comes to any questions that you might have about any of these tools, please reach out. I would love to have a one-on-one session or maybe a group coaching session where we walk through how to use one of these tools in particular, or maybe it just would make sense for me to send you a short demo video of here's how this works. Seriously, I want to hear from you. This was designed to give you an overview of this certain category of tools, the automation category of tools. Now, there's others that that I didn't even get to in this particular episode, but I do intend to cover those later. For now, make sure that you, again, are subscribed to our YouTube channel, that you're following us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you're listening to podcasts. And I want to just emphasize it one more time. Seriously, reach out if you have any questions about any of these tools or anything else. And I want to hear your thoughts. Maybe what are some tools that you're using that maybe do similar functions to what I talked about in this episode, but are different, maybe they're more affordable. Maybe you think they're better. I seriously want to hear from you. So feel free to leave a comment or send me that email. You can also send me a text. Text me 615-900-4461. That's 615-900-4461. I just would really enjoy connecting with you. Well, thanks so much for joining us for this episode as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope right here on the Must Increase Podcast.